Our buddy, welcome to a Monday edition Bulldog Hour. Captain Ross alongside here as always until 3. Christopher jumps in at that point, and he will bring you to 6 o'clock tonight, CGP. I'll hang around till around 3:35 and jump back in with our good friend CG, and we will go over everything we can email-wise that we didn't get to and whatever CG has in the list, which he sent me earlier today, and it's a right on the money for a variety of subjects, including our good friend Irvin Magic Johnson. If you haven't been listening to the network or you didn't watch First Take this morning, you will know that Magic decided to upstage the old Vogel presser in a major way today. As a Warrior fan, I'm very amused by the Laker drama. I know it's temporary, but we enjoy it while it's there because at some point they're the Lakers and they'll get the ship righted and they'll once again be title contenders, just not right now. Anyway, for us, in addition to the local stuff, got the Giants coming up at 6:05 on 9:40, 6:45 first pitch. Braves are in. The Giants are back at home after somehow winning a series that really they should not have won in Phoenix because Crawford makes a great play yesterday and then Sandoval homers in the 10th. But in all candor, the replay that was not overturned should have been. That was one of those deals where as much as I want the Giants to win, that was a definite tie at first base. And just because the umpire had ruled out, they did not overturn it back in New York when in reality you watch it from every angle and you had the ball in Belt's glove simultaneous to the runner hitting the bag. They should have overturned it, which would have put the winning run at third and less than two out. And if that same play takes place, there's no way Crawford gets to it because the infield is pulled in. The other way to look at it, the Giants deserved a break because it hasn't been a great year so far. Anyhow, they're up with the Braves tonight, first of three, 6:45 on 9:40 with the 6:05 first pitch. The Sharks may have played their last game for us this year, unfortunately. We are hoping we're going to get the Sharks back at some point, like a game 7 on Thursday back at SAP. But after the 5-0 whitewash yesterday at home, they have to go to St. Louis tomorrow, and we'll see how that plays out. But that's where we're at as we start the week, and the marquee event for us end of the week will be, of course, the Mountain West Baseball Tournament beginning Thursday in Reno. We'll bring up our good friend and always Monday visitor voice, your Bulldogs, Paul Lippler, right now to discuss the oddity of the Bulldogs playing their best baseball, being the one seed, and they get to go on somebody else's home field and play that team to start the tournament. Interesting reward. Paul, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, doing great, Tony. And, of course, the Bulldogs were just there a couple weeks ago and swept Nevada. But
they look good, Do you wonder about, do the fates now intercede? Everything says you owe them one. Is that in the back of your mind somewhere?
Well, I think maybe the bigger factor is Nevada was missing two of its best hitters in that series.
That's right.
And, one of them came back in their final regular season series, McLaughlin. We don't know if Shrum, their best power bat, will be back for Thursday. But if he is, that could make a difference. And, obviously, the weather could make a difference. Now, the forecast keeps changing. I looked yesterday, and it was rain all the way through. I looked today, and it looks like, they might dodge some of the rain and be able to stick to schedule, which is 2:30 and 6:30 for the games Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and a 1 o'clock Sunday if necessary. I've already heard from some Diamond Dog fans who have made their reservations. They're making the trip. And, I would, too, if I were a fan, because this team, over the last 6 weeks, this is not an exaggeration. Look up the numbers. They back it up. This team's playing as well as anybody in the country over the last 6 weeks. The Dogs have the second longest road winning streak in the country this year. They've won 10 straight now on the road. And, this is a true road game Thursday at Nevada at 6:30 at night with a pitcher who hasn't lost a start since March. Not only has he not lost a decision, the Dogs haven't lost one of his starts since they were on the road against unbeaten Tennessee the first week of March. So Ryan Jensen is rolling. This team is rolling. I think by the time he takes the mound Thursday night, he'll probably be Mountain West Pitcher of the Year. The Dogs moved up to number 23 in Baseball America's top 25 this week. A lot of things are going in the right direction.
You're right. And now, before we get to what happened over the weekend, which was a tremendous performance down in the southern part of the state at UNLV, a couple of the quirks here, Paul, we need to go over. Because Joey had sent in an email and said, hey, why did they go away from the number one seed hosting. And you and I talked about this when they did it for a while. The one seed, it was complicated in that year at New Mexico, which didn't turn well for Fresno State 2 years ago, was a great case in point. But it did, Paul, for that season anyway, reward a team for having the best record. That would have put Fresno State at home. I'm not saying there's any excuse for the Bulldogs if they don't get it done this weekend. That's not what I'm saying. But I will tell you, without question, Fresno State would be much more comfortable, despite their success on the road, at Biden-Bennett this weekend. Why did they change it back? Was it the sheer logistics?
Yeah, they tried that for 1 year, and it didn't work. So they got away from it. And it was, you know, it went down to the last week to know where it was going to be. It was decided by a game that wasn't finished and a game that went as a tie. That's what gave the tournament to Albuquerque instead of San Diego.
Right.
It made it very expensive for all the teams to travel there because they're making their arrangements last minute. And it just didn't work out. So they went away from that, and they awarded it to San Diego State for the next year. Last year they said, hey, Nevada won the regular season championship in 2018, right. So let's reward them with the tournament for 2019. Now, they could still change this again in the offseason when they huddle up, but my understanding is that for next year, when you'll have an eight-team conference, but again, the plan now is to have just a four-team tournament to mirror a regional, and that they are right now accepting bids from the various schools on what they would do in order to host and how that would shake out. So I think in the future there may be some more clarity that comes to that, but you know, the decision was made before this year that it would be in Reno. It almost ended up that Nevada wasn't in it. And had Air Force played its full schedule of 30 games, it's quite possible that Nevada wouldn't be in it.
Yep.
But and if San Jose State hadn't had its best player injured, you know, I really feel for the Spartans. They were having a tremendous year. They're in first place at 12-4. Who could have possibly imagined that they would only win one more conference game out of 14 the rest of the way and lose three 11-inning heartbreakers in conference and so many one-run games? Just hard to fathom what happened there with the Spartans and that they missed out by a game as a result. But, you know, for the Bulldogs, everything, and I mean everything, is heading in the right direction. And it does remind you of some of those great Fresno State baseball teams of the past that when they showed up, you expected them to get the job done. At the plate, they have so much confidence. On the mound, I mean, and this is a program that the last couple of years had successful seasons, but really, I think, missed out on its potential because in crucial situations, the Dogs had a hard time throwing strikes. Now you don't see anything like that. I mean, their three starters over the weekend combined to go 18 innings, strike out 19 guys, and walk one. That's incredible performance on the mound. And they're getting it from, you know, the top of their roster to the bottom. That was one of the great things in Vegas this weekend. Everybody that made the trip got involved. And there's a real great chemistry and team feel, tremendous senior leadership. This is what you want out of a college baseball team. I mean, what Mike Batesel has going right now is exactly where you want this program to be. And, you know, the way to really convince everybody of that is to fulfill that potential and reach that destiny in the postseason, which they have a chance to do starting Thursday night.
Well, you and I have talked about the disappointment of 2011 in particular because the team, much like this team, was locked and loaded. The pitching was terrific. The defense was terrific. Just ran into a pitching-heavy regional down at UCLA. Irvine showed up big. Obviously, the Bruins had guys that went on to the major leagues, and it got away. As we talked, Paul, all the promise within 48 hours had been erased. It was somewhat amazing. But I'm glad you brought the feel about this team because this team right now has the feel of the 84 team, which set the all-time winning streak, that every time they took the field, and they did not ultimately get out of a regional, but the team itself during the year, Paul, you almost had the other team beaten before you started. And had you had this kind of setup now, a four-team regional, not the monster regional, they might very well have ended up in Omaha. This team has that feel. But I will ask you, since you are going to a quirky place to play, you are going against a home team first. Any consternation about what happens on Thursday if somehow things don't go your way? Is this team resilient enough if something were to happen Thursday to turn right around and get it done? Because, as you know, in a four-teamer like this, it's not the end of the world if you lose that first game. You just have to recover have your pitching ready to go and get yourself into Saturday. Is this team ready no matter what happens on Thursday?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the beauty of the schedule that they've navigated this year. And if some people are out there, they don't pay close attention, they say, okay, it's the same old, same old. It's, you know, because there have been some really good Fresno State teams this decade, 2016, regular season champs, but they have to go to Albuquerque, they go 0-2, and just like that, when you thought this was going to be a special year, it ends up with a disappointing finish. And the last couple years, you know, certainly potential. But I think what's different this year is that Mike Batesole went back after last year and said, okay, what do we need to change? What do we need to straighten out in this program? What am I doing that's working? What am I doing that's not working? And he made, I think, as top to bottom, stem to stern evaluation of his program as I've ever seen any coach do. And that's not easy to do. I mean, that takes a lot of introspection. It takes some humility. And it takes a whole lot of determination and grinder mentality, which he's always had. And he brought that to bear on this challenge and said, what can we do differently to put ourselves in a position? And, you know, he was blessed to have seniors who decided to come back to school instead of sign. And both Ashford and Tatum would have had pro opportunities after last year. Boy, where would this team be without those two guys? And you look at the way Nolan Dempsey has stepped up and been a difference maker. And the senior leadership on this club has really been tremendous. So those things are all going in their favor. But the biggest change Coach Batesole made with regard to the schedule was, I'll play the RPI game. I'm going to schedule tough games on the road and more road games to give me that potential to build RPI points. And it paid off. You know, the win at Tennessee looks better and better every week. The fact that they made that trip is going to weigh heavily with the committee. They still have a chance for their wins at Oregon to count as top 50 RPI wins if the Ducks win a couple more games down the stretch. And that makes a difference in the eyes of the committee. But when you have one of the best road records in the country, when you've swept three road conference series in a row, look around the country. The only other team that's done that is Vanderbilt, and they're number two in the country. When you're playing the way they're playing, they have gotten the committee's attention. And I don't think that happens if that scheduling change wasn't made. If he stuck to the traditional, you know, we're going to play more than 30 home games and, you know, well less than half of our games on the road, it wouldn't have shaken out that way. But if you look at it, the Bulldogs played 50 games. And only 24 of those 50, less than half, ended up being at home. So that is a decided difference in the scheduling philosophy. And we can see the benefits it reaped, not just in RPI points, which you can say is smoke and mirrors, but in the way this team has built that confidence and resilience. I mean, they get poured on at Tennessee. They're in a driving rain in Oregon. They've had, you know, travel issues. They've had adversity. You know, in a home series, they lose four guys to injury in the same weekend that all have to leave a game, and two of them are done for the year. But I think the amount of time they've spent on the road, the challenges they built in just from a scheduling perspective, I think has really helped them grow up a little faster. And the fact that they had those five seniors to kind of set the bar and lead the rest of those guys through it has been a big difference maker. And, you know, I felt last year, even though he was just a sophomore, that Ryan Jensen was the biggest indicator, the biggest barometer of Fresno State's success. If he could really handle the big pressure innings, that team would go far. And, you know, he had some bad breaks, and he also, you know, shot himself in the foot a few times. This year, he has handled the pressure in just unbelievable fashion. And you watch him now. You watch his demeanor. You watch his confidence. You watch that smile on his face when he goes out there to the mound. I mean, he knows he's in control, and if he does his thing, his team's going to win. And yeah, that's exactly what has happened for the last couple months. So the spot they're in right now is a really good place to be. You couple Jensen's leadership with the season Moore has had, 8-1, and Nico Mitchell pitched as well as anybody this last weekend as that third starter with a bullpen that for most of the year has been lights out. So, again, if you're looking at the building blocks to a championship team, so many of them are present with this Fresno State squad, even down to two guys who had kind of been slumping, Zach Presno and Carter Benz. They broke loose by the end of the weekend in Vegas. So, you know, the lineup's where you want it. The pitching staff is where you want it. You have a tough, experienced, resilient team. And, you know, I don't know that you could feel better prepared for whatever curveballs or hiccups get thrown in your face in Reno this weekend than you are with this Bulldog team that's ranked in the top 25 in multiple polls.
Well, I'll tell you what, Paul, you talk about the momentum going in specificity. the three teams that you're going to face, I mean, you're going to face in a figurative sense. Obviously, you know you're going to get to Nevada right away. You don't know for sure who else you're going to play. But, Paul, you have won eight of your last nine against those teams of recent time. We're talking about this month. And six of those nine were on the road. So you can't be more ready than the Bulldogs are. I do come back, though, to the same question. Our good buddy Chris, Leda San Bruno up in Seattle, emailed me about this last week. Still wondering if the RPI will be problematic. Look, you and I have had the conversation probably for half the year now when the Bulldogs started the tournament. Because, look, we talk about 162 in baseball. You know this. 162, that's the great vetting process. Anything can happen. The Red Sox have stumbled out of the gate. I'll guarantee you, after they hammered Toronto today, the Red Sox are going to be there in October. All right, you can mark it down. But in only a 30-game regular season, which is just a month of Major League Baseball, Fresno State has gone from the dregs to the best. Paul, just look back a few weeks into the start of the conference year, not that long ago. The Bulldogs are at the bottom. The Spartans are at the top. Could you have foreseen Fresno State pulling away to this extent to win this thing by five in the loss column, which is an amazing accomplishment in a 30-game schedule, but also the safety net of the RPI? Are you at least semi-confident if something happens untowards this weekend, they can still get in it at large, or no?
Yes, I am. I mean, I think the only thing that could derail them at this point is if they go 0-2 in Reno and don't look good doing it. I mean, somewhat akin to what happened with the basketball team. You know, the basketball team this year built a great track record, was in every single expert's NIT projection, just happened to lay an egg in Vegas against Utah State. And that weighed so heavily on the committee, you saw that the Bulldogs did not get an NIT invitation.
Yeah.
You know, this is the Field of 64 we're talking about, the NCAA baseball tournament, where RPI has meant so much. I think it may matter if that scenario were to unfold. And let's be clear, nobody in the conference has the kind of momentum Fresno State has right now. San Diego State just lost 2 of 3 on its home field to New Mexico over the weekend. Obviously, the Rebels were swept by the Bulldogs and backed their way into the four-team field. You could make a case maybe Nevada has a little momentum, but they didn't play this past weekend. They had it off. Their season was complete, and it's their home field. But I think if you're going to rely on that fallback plan of an at-large bid because somehow you don't win this tournament, which you're a heavy favorite in, I would say it would certainly help if San Diego State were the team that won it, because the Aztecs have won that tournament 5 of the last 6 years. They're used to being in the postseason. They have the best RPI outside of Fresno State in the Mountain West. So if you're looking at, you know, can you get in while losing, it certainly would help if you lost in the finals to San Diego State. That said, RPI-wise, they're still going to be in a very solid position. Even if they were to go 0-2, they're likely still to be in the top 45 in the RPI. Right now, they're number 36 in the RPI. They have more road wins than just about everybody in the country. If you look at road winning percentage, there are only a couple teams that have a better road winning percentage this year than Fresno State. You're looking at, you know, Stanford, who's only lost 3 times on the road, Louisville, who's only lost 4 times on the road, and Creighton, which is 21-5 on the road. I mean, it's hard to find anybody else with a more impressive road record than Fresno State, and those are where the RPI points come from. So RPI-wise, they're in really good position, but nobody on that team is thinking about a fallback plan. Nobody is seeing any reasons why this team should be derailed. If they continue to play the way they've been playing, they're going to be hoisting another trophy by Saturday or Sunday in Reno. And, you know, that's my full-on expectation. I know that's the expectation of these Bulldog seniors. The very reason, you know, that Zach Ashford came back for his senior year. I mean, here's a guy who would have been drafted probably in the top 6, 7, 8 rounds after a stellar junior year last year. And he told all the scouts, no, I'm not signing. I'm going to finish my degree. And he told Mike Batesel, I'm coming back to win a Mountain West championship and to play in the NCAA tournament. Same kind of thing Doug Pfister said over a decade ago. Same thing Steve Susdorf said, you know, between 07 and 08. And we know how that ended up.
Right.
And, you know, this team is not going to be derailed from that dream of not just playing in the NCAA tournament, but having a chance to advance in the NCAA tournament. And that's the thing I took away from this weekend. The team we've seen, well, really, the last several weeks. I mean, you look at their last 24 games, Tony. They've won 20 of them. Of course, they have that infamous tie. But of those 3 losses, 2 of them, Fresno State was a pitch away from winning when the game was decided in the other direction. I mean, that's how locked in this team has been. There's only been one game where it was, you know, decided before the last pitch of the ball game that they lost at home against New Mexico when Justin Slayton was pitching great. So they've really been on fire. They're focused. They're executing at the plate. They're doing that early. They're jumping on their opponents. They're putting that pedal to the metal. And if Ryan Jensen is on the mound and is the same Ryan Jensen we've seen for the last month, this Bulldog team is capable of beating anybody in the country on a given night. That's not just me saying that. That's what the last three opposing head coaches that we've seen the last 3 weeks have said to me. They said, man, if Jensen is pitching like this, they can beat anybody in the country. And that's true. So let's see where it goes. Let's see how they respond to whatever the situation might be on Thursday night in Reno and go from there.
Well, I tell you what, when you bring up Susdorf, it brings a smile to my face because, as you know, Paul, that was the guy by sheer circumstance. There's no way any of us could have seen it. You know this well, could have seen what was going to happen. We asked Steve, start of 2008, to be our weekly guest correspondent, if you will. And, you know, even he said, when we talked to him the last time after June 25th of 2008, and he said, I didn't see this coming either. So I'm not saying that's happening this year. But I will say this team right now is playing as well as any team that I've seen in a good long while. And look, to truly put the cart before the horse here, this is the ultimate in that regard. When we talk about projecting, we know this is the exact mimicking of a regional, and it does work out well. You play for Fresno State the feature game, the 6:30 game against Nevada. If you win it, you've got yourself one game away from where you want to be, which is the feature game on Friday. You win that, and then somebody's got to come and get you twice. That's always the goal in this tournament. But let's say, for the sake of argument, Paul, this team does win the tournament as they're supposed to. Is there any part of you that says the more impressive they are right now, because you just want to be invited to the dance, but you'd also like a really nice seat, do you project a little bit about your seeding beyond this, if you are very impressive this weekend, about where you might be placed? Because you and I both know that has a lot to do with how far you go.
Well, it can, yeah. And you know, you could say there's not a huge difference between the 2 and the 3 seed. I think right now they're a 3 seed, but they have a chance, you know, with an impressive week in Reno to play themselves into a 2 seed. I guess where it does make a difference, potentially for, you know, batting last in one of those regional games. And the other thing that could become a factor, should they find a way to win a regional, where does the super regional end up? And if there are upsets in their regional and the one that they're paired with, you know, being a 2 seed versus a 3 seed could be the difference between playing a super regional at home or on the road. But that's a long way down the road. I think right now they just need to keep doing what they're doing and good things are going to happen. And that's what we've seen. I mean, they've gone into every weekend extremely focused, you know, and dominant and resilient. And it's not one guy leading the way. It's everybody getting it done. It's people picking each other up. It has a feel very similar to what we saw in 2008, what we've seen with other great Bulldog teams. I mean, Bob Bennett had so many great baseball teams here, and this team has won more road games in a row, 10 now, than any team since Coach Bennett's 1985 Dogs, who won 11 straight road games. That's the hardest thing to do in college baseball, win road games, especially in conference play. And the Dogs have been perfect in that regard for more than a month. So to know they're playing the same teams that they've been dominating down the stretch, on a neutral side, except for Thursday night against Nevada, I think you just have to go into it with a lot of confidence and not shake things up too much. And I don't expect Mike Batesel to be giving any big speeches or, you know, throwing too many words of caution or focus other than just the technical things with guys' swings, because he knows this team is in the right state of mind. This team is performing as a team, is in the best spot that this program has been in years. And I think the job now is just to keep it that way and keep it rolling.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about football here before we wrap it up. But, Paul, I'm glad you brought up the Super Regional, because that's exactly where I was headed. We have seen, particularly in the last few years, I asked the folks at Arizona, for instance, about this, we have seen teams that thought they were safe not be able to get out of the regional that was set up for them to win. And it does change that super regional, particularly like you said. It's that stuff, you don't have to beat everybody. All you have to do is win yours and have the opposite side of the bracket cooperate, and you suddenly find yourself at home. And that's the one change since we have gone to the regional setup that we have now with the super regional. there hasn't really been a legitimate opportunity for Fresno State to find itself at home in the postseason. How great would it be, Paul, for this team to be able to get back home for a Super Regional? I would hope it would draw a lot of the fan base back out that maybe hasn't been out in a while.
Well, I'm sure you're right, Tony, and that would be incredible, and it would be such a deserving reward for those dugout club folks and the diehard Diamond Dog fans who've been there win or lose, whether people were saying good things or not, and that would be great. But make no mistake, the toughest part of the whole equation in the postseason in college baseball is the first round. It's winning that regional, and Mike Batesel will tell you that. How many times did he say about 2008, the moment he knew he had something special was when they beat Long Beach State at Long Beach State to open that regional. And from there on, it felt like house money. And that's the story. I mean, whatever regional they end up with, they're very unlikely to travel across the country. They're going to stay out west. So you're talking UCLA, who's number one in the country and has been dominant from start to finish this year. Stanford, who's ranked as high as number two or number three in some of these polls, and the Dogs have already seen them up close and personal this year. Or UC Santa Barbara, which has a better overall record than both of those schools, it just is barely lost. 44-7 the Gauchos are this year. And if that happens, that would be in Las Vegas in the new AAA stadium. So those are the most likely regional landing spots for the Bulldogs. And that challenge right there, you could argue, would be a more severe or imposing challenge than anything they're going to face from that point on. So I think you can start thinking about a super regional if you win a regional. Until then, it's just a distraction or pointless. But if they are able to get into a regional and advance and light this valley on fire again, boy, it would bring back not only some great memories, it would make some new memories and do things that people just didn't imagine going into the year. And I'll tell you, this team is capable. The way these Bulldogs are playing right now, they're more than capable. And they're really easy to pull for. They're such tremendous young men. I mean, you got guys who've already earned their degrees, guys who have been unselfish, guys who have overcome injuries. I mean, I'll say it again, Nolan Dempsey, I think in many ways this team's progression mirrors his leadership and his personal development. And, you know, he's an unlikely hero. This guy was not heavily recruited. In fact, as I understand it, the story goes, Coach Batesel was recruiting somebody else, and Nolan came up to him and had the boldness to say, hey, will you watch me take batting practice? And the rest is history. I mean, he's going to be an all-conference guy, and he's right there with McCarthy Tatum, I would say, for conference player of the year candidate. So, you know, those are the kind of stories that this Valley loves. Those are the things that fire people up. This is another underdog crew that is playing like a dominant college baseball powerhouse right now. So we'll see how long they can keep it rolling.
Yeah, you're right. And also with Bates, a pure projection, because were I to bring up a super regional to Mike right now, I'd get a two-word response. Okay, that's all I'm telling you. We'll just get that. Okay.
Yeah, he's in the zone, Tony. He's in the zone.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not by any means taking anything for granted. First things first, the game against Nevada on Thursday. Again, Paul, have the pre at 6 o'clock and 6:30, as long as the first game doesn't take over 3.5 hours, and one never knows when we get to regional play, that's for sure, and in this case, the Mountain West Tournament. All right, Paul, I want to talk to you about the Athlon grouping of 13 Bulldogs coming up for football. First-team offense, Jared Rice, certainly understandable. First-team defense, Walker, Bryant, and Hughes. But I want to ask you about Mucci being on the second team. Is that just because he's been out? Is that it? Because he is the best lineman, not only the best lineman in the Mountain West, but maybe one of the top 10 in the country. Is that why he's second team? Is that it?
Yeah, I think that's the only reason. And understandably so, because no one's seen him since the injury. They don't know if it will slow him down or hold him up, and he's got as much to prove this year as anybody. I think he's going to pass that test with flying colors, and I think he's going to be turning heads, you know, against USC and Minnesota in those first two games, and people will be saying that name, Mucci, quite a bit. But, yeah, that would be my guess. And if that's a little extra fuel for his fire, great. You know, that's all that is worth. It's not an indication of how good this team is going to be. And, you know, those guys are all deserving. They're all really good players. There are some question marks about this team, I think, because of the succession on defense and the people you have to replace. But to know that you have leaders like a Michael Walker, like a Juju Hughes and a Jaren Bryant on the defensive side of the ball who aren't just talented physically, but really have the mindset that Coach Tedford and Coach Watts, the defense coordinator, and this staff are trying to emphasize. And that goes so far. I mean, you can be a really talented player, but if you don't understand the mentality and the direction that the program's trying to go, it can be counterproductive. Those guys are all on board. They're all full speed ahead. They're going to lead that defense, and that gives you some confidence. But, you know, those first two teams they're playing are loaded with talent. Minnesota may even have more talent than USC. I know that sounds ridiculous, but P.J. Fleck is an incredible recruiter. That Minnesota team is going to have speed, significant size. You know, they had a young man last year who was redshirting, who's 6'9", 420, and was one of the most recruited people in the world the year before. Those are going to be some great games. And that second one, Minnesota is at home. So if folks don't have their tickets yet, I hope they snatch them up pretty soon, because that will eventually be a sellout. There's no question in my mind.
Paul, you like matchups like Purdue coming up. You know, we talked about getting teams that on the road. You know you're going to have to play them on the road, but getting teams that you have a legitimate chance to beat. And I'm talking about if you're going to go in the SEC, you would love not to face an Alabama, but maybe someone in the middle of the pack that can be good. Same in the Big Ten. Is this the kind of matchup you like?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have liked it last year with the Tyler Trent magic going on.
Right.
But, no, I think that's great.
That's the luck of the draw, right? When you set these things up, you just never know, do you?
Yeah, and it might be a different coach by then. You never know. But, yeah, it's great for Fresno State to go on the road and play Power 5 teams and to go win them. And, you know, with this coaching staff, if you keep Coach Tedford and this staff here, there's no question in my mind that will be a winnable game, especially if the quarterback recruit who remains committed to Fresno State, Jaden Casey, is on board and turns down Alabama and Clemson and everybody else in the country to be a Bulldog. You bet Fresno State will have a chance to win that game, and it'll be exciting. And the future of this football program and this athletic program is very, very bright, but it only becomes brighter if the community connects and supports and becomes part of it. And I know that's what, you know, Terry Toomey, the athletic director, is focused on this week. He's taken so many of the coaches from the athletic program right on the road, you know, three different stops in the valley over the sure next 3 days. Yep. And get out there. If you haven't had a chance to meet him, to meet Coach Tedford, to meet these other coaches, I know Coach Benson from the water polo team is going to be at a couple of those. She has embraced this valley and is building a brand new sport that's already nationally ranked and is going to be a powerhouse. There are a lot of things to get excited about. And this is a talented valley. All those coaches are recruiting the valley. And, you know, tonight, one of my favorite events of the year is the B'nai B'rith Student Athlete Scholarship Dinner, where 16 young men and women from 16 high schools in the Fresno area get celebrated for getting it done on the field and in the classroom. And every year when I'm at that dinner, I see these young people, and your eyebrows are raised by all the different things they've accomplished. You love seeing their parents acknowledged for everything they've invested in their children. And then every year, you look at the program and see the past recipients, and you say, yeah, look at what that person has done now. I mean, you see Jenna Prandini's name there. It's like, holy cow, what has she accomplished? You see a T.J. McDonald. Wow. You know, an Adam Prentice, who's now at Colorado State, who's such a compelling young man with a powerful story. And these winners year after year after year are people who have gone on to do great things. So that event, I think, as much as anything, reminds me of how many talented young people, how many future leaders this valley is capable of generating. And, you know, to know that you have coaches at Fresno State who are ready to mine that talent, find the young people who not only are gifted athletes but have high character and want to represent their home area, there's the secret sauce right there, Tony. And when you perpetuate that, you get that rolling, you build this expectation and this desire of great high school athletes in the valley that Fresno State is the place they want to be, that's when things really take off. And I think we're seeing that again in Bulldog land. And that makes you pretty optimistic about what the future might hold. And I'll say it again with this baseball team. The very near future may hold some pretty exciting things.
Paul, last couple of things. One, about Jaden Casey. He has been so far unwavering. I know that Jackson Moore, who's on with us every week, has a lot of contact with him. And every time somebody comes calling, and when it's Nick Saban coming calling, you know you have the ultimate compliment. It has been, no, I want to play for Jeff Tedford, and that is the one ace in the hole the Bulldogs have. They can offer the one thing that evidently Jaden Casey can't find anywhere else, which is Jeff Tedford. Your level of confidence, Paul, much like a gentleman we saw from West High School who stayed with Pat Hill when everybody else came calling and turned out to be not only a great running back but a first-round draft choice in the NFL, your confidence that Jaden Casey will not waver, that it's going to be the way he says it will be.
I mean, the guy's been pretty clear, hasn't he? I mean, he's not pretending.
So far, yes, absolutely.
He's not pretending that Nick Saban isn't calling or, you know, saying that he's not talking to these people. He's taken all the calls, and every time he gets them, he comes back out and says, hey, look, I've known Coach Tedford for a long time. It's been my dream to play for him for a long time, and here's why. And he sticks to the program. So I think you have to take him at his word. And I think there's a trait right there, the loyalty and the confidence and, you know, the courage of his convictions, because that's not easy. I mean, these people are trying to sway him with some pretty sweet deals. If you go to some of these campuses where these Power Five schools have heavily invested in their facilities and the amenities, you know, if you have someone who's moved by that, who wants to be treated like a king every single day and have people, you know, kowtowing to him, then that's going to draw them away. But the fact that he has looked at all that and said, you know, that's not my worldview. Those aren't my priorities. That's not what really matters to me. I believe my best chance for long-term success in this game of football and in life is to go play for Coach Tedford at Fresno State. When you see a young man who has that perspective, and, you know, it becomes clear that that's not just blind loyalty. It's not that he's oblivious to all this other stuff or naive to it, but that he's evaluated that and says, no, in the way I see the world, in the way I assign value to things, these elements are more valuable to me than those. I think that speaks pretty strongly of the kind of individual he is and the kind of leader he can be at Fresno State. So, I would see no indications or no reasons to doubt it. In fact, I would say you have to feel more confident today about his ending up in Fresno than when he first committed, because, you know, all these people have sent their best pitches and made it clear they want him. The fact that he has fended all of those off and said, thanks, but no thanks, I'm going to be a Bulldog, I think that says a lot about who that young man is.
I agree with that, Paul. And then the last thing is about, I'm not saying the opposite side of this issue, but someone who evidently, for the moment anyway, is not going to be a Bulldog, and that is Kendall Milton. Are you surprised at all in that regard? I'm not. I thought this was someone who might see the SEC as a great advantage. At one point, I know USC was the dream school, but things haven't gone so well for USC. But what's your feeling about Milton? Anything at all?
Well, I think, you know, and this is not saying that Casey is right and Milton is wrong. There's a different right for each individual. You know, and they're playing two different positions. And Kendall Milton is as familiar as any young man could be with the Fresno State program. He has shown nothing but respect to Coach Tedford, to the assistant coaches, to the program. He said nothing but great things publicly about the program. And, you know, he sees things a little differently, and it may be that his path is a little different. You know, Coach Tedford is known as a quarterback guru, not a running back guru, even though he's produced some of the great running backs in the NFL, and that is the position where he has the most expertise. And there are other programs where you can get more attention for being a running back. And, you know, there are things that are important to that family that are going to drive the decisions that he's making. So I don't, you know, if I'm a Bulldog fan, I don't think you should change your opinion of Kendall Milton or stop rooting for him because, you know, he left Fresno State in the running for this long and all of a sudden is down to just Power Five schools. I think, you know, you should be glad the Bulldogs put up that kind of a fight and stayed in the mix for a guy that literally every school in the country wants, and wish him well wherever he goes. And here's the other factor. I think we see this maybe even more in basketball. Of course, we've seen it with Coach Tedford too. The first place you go isn't always the last place you go. And, you know, it could very well be that he ends up somewhere, that things don't go as planned, that at some point he enters the transfer portal. If that happens, and you want Fresno State to be a strong candidate to land his services, you certainly don't want to put a bad taste in his mouth now and you know, blast off on a message board or say unfortunate things about him because the Dogs aren't on his list anymore. So That's the coaches know all this, and they're wise about it, and they want the young man to succeed wherever he goes. And, you know, that's what I expect. He, you know, he's a great young man with a great football future. And just like we're watching Brook Lopez sporting his Fresno Grizzlies jersey in post-game news conferences, I'm sure that Kendall will rep the Valley wherever he ends up. And at some point, his path is going to bring him back to the Valley, whether that's, you know, in a college setting or just later on in life. And I'm sure that because of the guidance he has from his parents, who are outstanding individuals, that he's going to be somebody the Valley can be proud of for a long, long time. So focus on that, you know, focus on rooting for him, wanting him to succeed, and he may be doing some great things for the Valley someday. Quincy Pondexter didn't go to Fresno State, but he's done great things for the Valley when he's come back in town and continues to do so. And there's a long list, Tony, you know, going back for a century or more than that. So
when I was in school, I'm going to say it before you do it, okay?
You got me.
Yeah, I could see. I knew where that was headed. All right, look, we are out of time. I agree with you completely. As I let you go, two things. One, hope you have a great and safe trip once again back to a place you guys had wonderful success just a couple weeks ago. 6 o'clock, the pre-Fresno State in Nevada open up Mountain West tournament play for Bulldogs on Thursday. Paul, the other thing is Honor Flight was just out of this world last week. You have to be so pleased for the Vietnam vets, and I know they were really taken aback by the tremendous reception they got back home.
Well, yeah, Tony, thanks for making sure we had a little bit of time for that. You know what that means to everybody who put so much time and effort into it. And, it doesn't happen without the support of people who are listening right now. It only happens because we have generous people here in the Valley. All donations, all volunteers. And last Wednesday at the airport, just another reminder of how deserving these veterans are, how much it means to them, and how much it means to so many other people. So, you know, as long as people continue to donate, we can keep that rolling. And hopefully we'll have our next flight in September with veterans from Vietnam, Korea, and World War II. We live in a very special place, Tony, and thanks for your support.
CVHonorFlight.org. Check it out. Paul, have a great one. I'll talk to you later in the week. Take care.
All right. We'll see you, Tony.
All right, guys. Paul Leppler, we'll take a break, come back a little bit more, get you ready for CG. Giants 605 on 940. The A's very close to underway over on 790. This is KFIG Fresno, 50,000-watt home of Bulldog Athletics. Welcome back. Thanks again, Paul, for his time with us as well. CG is coming up, and we'll bring you to 6 o'clock. 6:05, the Giant pre, 6:45, first pitch. Braves are in at Oracle. The Giants back at home, and the A's on the road, and they will get started. Actually, the pregame is underway on 790. They'll get started, I think, at 10 after 3 our time as they continue to try to get back to 500. I still think the A's can make the playoffs, but you know, it's going to be a long pull for the Giants. It's going to be a long pull period, though. It was nice to see them win the series in Phoenix against the D-backs. Now, in the couple minutes we have here, the one reminder, and Paul brought it up, the caravan is going on the next couple of days up and down the Valley. Check out GoBulldogs.com and see the locales. I hope you can go out and see the coaches, not just football, but Natalie Benson for water polo, etc. Something doing the last several years, and as a matter of fact, our good friend and co-owner John Oslin was driving the caravan a couple of years back, but please go out and see them throughout the north and southern parts of the Valley. Now, the one thing I wanted to mention, we haven't the last couple of days just because of time limitations during the week, but our good friend Gary up in Atwater had sent along word, and we had brought it up, that his son Ryan is putting on a fundraiser fishing tournament for a young boy, Mason Frulli, 11 years old. He's been battling brain cancer. The tournament will be at Lake McClure on June 15th. They're expecting 80 boats to participate. They've had a number of great raffle prizes already donated. But please, anybody who can get involved with whatever you can donate, monetarily or tickets, what have you, you can go on Facebook to Ryan Cook Fishing. Ryan Cook is Gary's son. Ryan Cook Fishing on Facebook, and you scroll down to see the event. It's called Fishing McClure for Mason. All the proceeds will go to the family for the medical bills, because after being in remission with one surgery, the tumors have returned, and Mason is planning to be at the event on June 15th at Lake McClure, unless his health prevents him. And look, I don't need to tell you how important this is, whether you have kids or not. If you have kids, it really hits right in the middle of the bullseye. But even if you don't, you certainly understand the import of this. And I hope people get involved, either Facebook. I know you can check out the GoFundMe page. Anything you can do to help, it would be so welcome. And again, it'll be June 15th at Lake McClure. Hopefully Mason will be there, but I just hope you keep him in your thoughts and prayers, and whatever you can give, please do so. And, you know, June 15th is going to be here before you know it, and we just pray that everything goes well. Nobody should have to go through this, but particularly an 11-year-old should not have to deal with this right now, and we're just very hopeful that things will ultimately work out the way we all very, very much pray they do. All right, that having been said, I want to thank Russ again for hanging with me, and he will be with you throughout CG show, and I'll come back at 3:35. Christopher has a lot to talk about. I'm really looking forward to it. Matter of fact, we have emails from last week that this week we should get to, and I should mention, if the Bulldogs go ahead and take care of business, as we expect they will on Thursday, it will put them in the late game on Friday, which means for the first time in a good long while, Christopher and I will get the full hour to go over emails on a Friday. It's been a while since we've been able to do that. First things first, the Bulldogs will play a 6:30 game against Nevada to open up Mountain West tournament play in Reno. If they win that one, they'll play at 6:30 on Friday. If that one gets away, they play at 2:30 on Friday. Should be a great tournament. I hope people have a chance to go to that as well. We'll talk to you guys in a while. CG is coming up on KFIG Fresno.